You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Amen. Good job, guys. Stevie Nicks and Hart, they don't have anything in comparison to what we got here on Sunday morning. You were just thinking that? Yeah, man, old Stevie Nicks. So anyways, well, good. Good to have you guys here today. Thank you for coming. We weathered the storm, and you guys are all here. What a blessing. What a blessing. I just want to thank you guys for how good you are to us. You're so good to your staff and leadership, and you know, Beth and I, and I know I could speak for Chris and Judy and Brian and Danielle, as well as Beck and Josh and Jess. Jess is here. You know, you guys are good to us, and what a pleasure it is to lead a healthy, growing church like what we have here. Right on? Right on, man. It's an awesome thing. I look forward to being here on Sundays. And you know, this year, we're kind of closing out this year, and we're moving into the next. And what you all noticed was that you have a little white card in your weekly, hopefully. Keep that white card handy. We're going to use that white card before you leave. Just to double back and remind you, those of you that came late, that's okay. I understand things get, I understand what it means to run a little bit behind from time to time. I like that, Chris. Chris is laughing. So, oh my goodness, he says, just disregard him sometimes, you know. But anyways, I want to just double back and remind you that next week we are having kind of an open door, open house kind of thing. It's from 9 to noon. We have a pancake flipper. And all of our offerings and all of our giving that's collected that day goes into building out the room for the youth, as well as trying to take care of the temperature stuff in the atrium. And we're kicking off a capital project for us. We've been here 5 years, and it's time to do some enhancements. So you'll be hearing more about that. This is something, by the way, that we're not just throwing out. It's something for about a year and a half we've been praying about, how to communicate this, how to do this in the right way. I just appreciate your generosity. I think it's going to be exciting to see what God is going to do here as he continues to move and work in our church. This church is about life change. What we say is we are called to lead every person into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And that every person is every person, right? There's a reason why it's that way. It's every person. And we believe that God wants us to minister to folks. And then we talk about our vision statement. Our vision statement is there's 60,000 reasons to grow small in a really big way. And what we're looking for is not creating big sanctuaries or multi-seat whatever, you know, and building on, adding. What we're looking at, quite frankly, is to build community, right? We want to grow small in a really big way, right? And if that means running 3-4 services on Sunday morning, then that's what God's going to raise up and help us do. If that means God's going to create more expressions like Open Table Ministries this afternoon that will meet from 3 to noon, and they'll have 40 to 50 people outside of the church coming into this church building, they'll hear a gospel message, and they'll experience shelter people ministering to them, then that's what we're going to do. You hear what I'm saying? If God's going to raise up and create more space and opportunity and more ministry opportunity through expressions of reaching people with handicaps or disabilities, then that's what we're going to do. And by the way, we're working on that. If God's going to raise up and create more opportunity for us to have something for youth, or create more opportunity for us to reach people outside of these walls, the 60,000 are driving by every day that won't come to a church building, but they'll log on online and hear a Facebook message like many are right now. We had over 50 people last week that were in tune with what we're doing from beginning to end, watching our service and being a part of us virtually. Do you hear what I'm saying? Folks, we believe in life change, and whatever it takes, we're going to continue to do that. Are you with me here this morning? When we ask for giving, we're not asking for raises, folks. What we're asking for is more opportunity to minister to folks and bless people that desperately need it. If that means recovery church on Tuesday nights, if that means we got to do something different, and who knows, at some point they may go to two services. Don Fricke's not here right now, so we'll just let that go with that. But I'm just saying, if that's what we need to do, then we'll have another recovery church. Folks, we are about leading every person into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, and we need your help. Your help in prayer, your help in generosity, your help in helping us continue to move forward and raise this ministry up. Are you with me? Amen. And this is going to be a great new year, and I'm excited about it. So next week, we're kicking that new year off with Flip and Share. Flip and Share. And there'd be a pancake flipper here. And this is about our seventh or eighth year that we've done this. And it's just a lot of fun. So come out and be prepared, because there'll be some pancakes flying on your plate, right? Good deal. Good job. All right. So, hey, today, what I want to mention to you is that it is not uncommon that I pull out my inner coaching voice and give my boys and some of you directives, you know, some of you. and I have to contain myself sometimes, because there's a part of me, you know, I've got a driver personality, and sometimes that driver personality comes out, and I like to say it's my inner coaching voice, or just this coaching voice. I feel like I need, you know, that the boys need to hear the directive. They need to hear what's going on, right? And so I get on them or do whatever I need to do. And as a matter of fact, that inner coaching voice came out this week, right? There was a little coaching clinic for indoor baseball, and I convinced the two younger ones that they needed to do this. Convinced them, right? And they reluctantly relented, right? And so they get to the deal. We had transportation picked up, and they go. There's college coaches there, and there's all kinds of from eight to 13 years old. And it's just exciting. It's fun. I would have dreamed to have these opportunities, right? And that's part of the problem, if you know what I'm saying. And I know that. The Lord spoke a truth to me, you know. So anyways, I'm not going to say which one, but one gets there and decides this ain't for him. And that he's got a 2,500-piece Lego set at home that he'd much rather be putting together. You know, it was his big Christmas present gift, right? And so we get this call, right? And in this call, I get the call from Beth. So instead of me kind of communicating back through Beth, because sometimes, well, never mind. I just communicate the other way, and I get a hold of the parent, my buddy that's there trying to get him to get Travis on the phone to speak truth into I blew it, sorry. And speak truth to my little guy about, you know, what he needs to do. You need to hang in there. Don't give up. Stay in there. Don't quit. Don't hang in there, and don't give up is primarily the message, right? That's what I was preaching to him or coaching him, and it didn't work. Just saying, it did not work. And I know that this is kind of the message on, and I think you give your kids the same message. Hang in there, right? Hang in there. Don't give up. Hang in there. Don't quit. Hold on, basically. Hold on. Don't let go. What do we say when we push those little boys and girls down the hill with their bikes, right? Hang on. Don't let go, right? It's kind of like Beth with the four-wheeler. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. I gave up on Beth riding the four-wheeler. I tell my kids, hang on. Don't let go. Because, man, she's just flying, going fast. And she's riding up. So, you know, don't let go. Hold on. Don't let go. We don't want our little boys and girls to let go, do we? We don't want them to give up. We don't want them to give up. I went and saw that Darkest Hour. You guys seen that? The Winston Churchill movie that's out? It's pretty good, really. And in his speech, it's never, never, never give up. You know, that was his speech, this idea that not to give up or not to give in. And that's kind of what we communicate. That's what's ingrained in each one of us. Don't give up. And I catch myself saying this over and over and over. Don't give up, buddy. You stay in there. You hang on. You can do this. And that's the message I think that many of us have grown up hearing, this idea of hanging on and not giving up. And that's the way things roll, I think, with us when we roll into the new year. And I'm so tired of hearing about New Year resolutions. We say this every year, don't we? But we get a month or 6 weeks in. What is it? Hang on. Don't give up with that diet, whatever, you know? Hang on. Don't stop going to the gym. We hear that over and over and over. And this morning, I want to share something different with you. Is that okay? Because I think it's the message that I think that the Lord wants us to hear this morning. And it's just that when I read the scriptures, I see and hear something that is totally different. When I hear and read the scriptures, I see the Lord painting a different picture for us. When I see and read the scriptures, that message is not in his teaching, folks. Let me share it with you. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul?" It's interesting, isn't it? That is not the message that I think that I've been taught. And it's not the message that I impart, you know, in with my kids as much as I should. So let's look for a second what it means to be a follower of Christ. Let's look at this. Being a follower of Christ, the Lord talks about you must give up your own way. Being a follower of Christ, it's not hanging on to your own self-interest, but it's what? It's giving up your own way. And I don't know this, I know that we are not much different than our kids when it comes to our way, are we? When it comes to our way, we want it our way, right? Man, can you imagine a world where people were willing to not hang on to their way? World wars are started because of people wanting their way. Church conflict happens because of people wanting their own way. Families split because people want their own way. The Lord is calling us to give up our own way. It's not hanging on to your own way. Being a follower of Christ is something different. Can you imagine if everyone was willing to give up their own way? Man, it would be a blessing. Consider the interests of others beyond our own interests, our self-interests. Check this out. It's not being a follower of Christ. It's not hanging on when you take up your cross. And folks, this is the message I think that we can all grab a hold of, because here's the truth. The truth is that we all have a cross. And your cross looks different than my cross. But the truth is that we have a cross. And God wants us, the Lord has called us, Jesus has called us to take up our cross and what? And follow him. And according to this passage, it's very much the same. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you are to give up your own way and you are to what? Take up your cross. This morning, I think it would be helpful to just ask this question. What is your cross? I don't know what yours is. I know at times I know what mine is. The Lord has called us to take that up and to follow him. And we know in following Jesus, Jesus took up his cross and ultimately he lived this example for us, right? And yielding up his spirit and giving up his own self-interest and dying out for each of us. And I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do. The cross. I would ask you this question. What is, if some of us may be struggling this morning with with what that cross is or what it looks like. And I would ask you this question: what is the one thing that stands in the way of you and your relationship with Christ? What is the one thing that has begun or began to be an obstacle for you? That very well may be your cross. Take up your cross is about sacrifice. It's about devotion. Let me ask it another way. What are you this morning devoted to? What are you devoted to? What has your attention? What are you holding on to that keeps you from living out your God-given call, the life that God has for you? Jesus says this very plainly and very simply. He says this: if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross. And lastly, follow him. You cannot hang on and follow him. You know that? You can't hang on and follow him. Some of us want to hang on to the past, or we want to hang on to that grief that we find comfort in. We want to hang on to our resources or to our finances. We want to hang on to our time. We want to hang on to relationships, or hang on to a specific career or job. Look, here's the truth. When you follow Christ, and I know this is not a very popular message, but when you follow Christ, he always leads you. He leads you. At some point, he will always lead you to a place where you may not want to go. You hear what I'm saying this morning? When you follow Christ, it is not always what you think it's going to be. When you follow Christ, you wonder, why in the world are you doing what you're doing? And you begin, look, here's the truth. I'm going to be very, very honest with you, man. Very honest. And when I say that, everybody perks up. Uh-oh, what's he going to say now? Beth's got her hand motions ready in the back, you know, like, just teasing. I'm just teasing, honey bun. I do cross the line at times. But here's the truth. Truth is this week we had a funeral. We got a hospice situation. We have another potential hospice situation. We got someone else who had back surgery. We had a big day with life group and some of the stuff that went on yesterday morning. And man, this week I did not feel like preaching a message. You hear what I'm saying? With everything else that was going on, sometimes following Christ, you do things or you follow him and you find yourself doing things that you really wish you didn't have to do, man. But here's what I can tell you. The good news is this, is every time I follow Christ and every time I do what I know I need to do, even though I think that I don't want to do it, he always comes through and there is huge blessing for it. God ministers and blesses and helps and gives strength and aid and comfort. And I walk out of that situation. This is kind of a personal testimony. Walk through that situation. And on the other side of the situation, I see how God worked. And I see what God does. Verse 25 says this: if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Isn't it interesting that in Jesus' teaching, unfailing, whenever you read his teaching and you study his message, he always, the kingdom principle and the kingdom message, basically his kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. The message is not what you think it is. He turns it upside down. I mean, when I read this, I think, man, the only way to save your life is to hang on to your life. Right? You hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't die out on me here. Right? When I read this and my prayer, that's why I'm yelling to my kids to hang on when their mom is doing 35 miles an hour down the road on a four-wheeler, right? Hang on, because I want them. And when it comes to our spiritual life, what's this verse 25 say? It says this. It says, if you hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. He turns it upside down. The kingdom principle is always upside down. Here's the truth. If we hang on to our own life, we will lose it. What exactly does that mean? Here's what I think it means. I think it means that when we grow complacent and when we grow comfortable, when we grow complacent and we grow comfortable and we begin to rest easy, that is a very unhealthy place to be. Not only does it work this way for each of us personally, but it works this way for a church. Now listen to me. Look at it the way it is. If we as a church hang on to what we think is the way it should be, ultimately we will lose it, as opposed to giving up what we think and moving forward. I see this over and over and over. I've grown up in the church and I've seen it. God wants us to continue to give it up. He wants us to continue to pursue Him. He wants us to continue to follow Him and to be all that He's called us to be, no matter what the cost is. He wants us to stretch ourselves out there and pursue and follow Him no matter where He leads. And when we do that, man, that's where we begin to experience that abundant life. Abundant life is by choice and by decision here, folks. Some of us wonder why we're struggling so much. And this is why, look, take this for what it's worth. But I beg to wonder if maybe you need to let go. And you need to follow Christ where He is and where He's going. If you, verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Look, here's the lie. The lie is this, is that when I can do all that I want to do, that's when I'm living. That's when I really am living. When I get my way, when I want get what I want. But here's the truth, and that's not true. The truth is that when we begin to give it up, when we begin to release it, you know, that's when we begin to see life. Amen. Folks, us moving into this building and the miracle that it was not because people weren't willing to stretch themselves out. I know two or three specific cases where people stepped up and gave and gave and gave and truthfully are still giving. Because they believe that in their giving and in their generosity, God will bless and move, and ultimately there will be life change and renewal and revival. If you try to hang on, you lose it, folks. When we stop giving and sharing, when we never allow ourselves to step out. And when I say step out, I'm talking step out. Not in a place that's comfortable, but in a place where that requires sacrifice. A place that requires, at times, risk. A place where it's not comfortable. Jesus does not lead us to the comfortable. Do you understand what I mean? In order for us to experience faith and to grow in our faith, He calls us out to places that sometimes seem very risky, even though He's with us and helping us and guiding us. So I say this to say to you that if you give your life for His sake, you save it. God is calling us. He's calling us to give up and not hang on, but He's calling us to give up and to let go. He's calling us to give up and to let go. Look at 26 and we'll close it out. 26 says this, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul?" You guys ever watch those 30 for 30s? You ever watch those? Man, I got the wrong audience. I got some here, but sorry, guys. Thank you. Well, this is going to show you how cheesy I am, right? But when I grew up, I liked big time wrestling. You guys know what I'm talking about? Big time wrestling. And there's a 30 for 30 about this guy named Ric Flair. Ooh, right? Ric Flair, right? And Ric Flair, you know, that's what he would do, you know, woo. And so Ric Flair, there's this 30 for 30 about this big time wrestler guy that I grew up watching. His name is Ric Flair. And he got so into his role, right? He was just this most flamboyant guy. If you guys, I can't even describe it. I'm sorry, man. By the way, Open Tail Ministries, there is a big time wrestling game that maybe we could initiate into this. But the truth is that Ric Flair, Jay's shaking his head, no, that's not us. Ric Flair, he basically sold out everything to live for his own self. And this testimony, this 30 for 30 story, talks about all the women that he was with. It talks about his drinking and his drug habits and meeting with counselors, and they couldn't believe how much that he drank, and just the lifestyle of flamboyance and big houses and multimillion, and he lived this lifestyle. The lifestyle that you saw on TV was the lifestyle that he lived in a day-to-day basis. And you get to the end of this 30 for 30, and I'm sorry you've not seen it. I'm telling you, it's very fascinating if you've never even watched Big Time Wrestling. But you get to the very end, and what you see is a 70-year-old man that is hurting, so much so that he breaks down sharing about his son who had a heroin overdose and how if he could go back and change it, go back and do it differently, he would have done it. Folks, here's the thing. That's an extreme example, I know. But I'm just saying that is where living for yourself leads. If you truly want to experience abundant life this upcoming year, I am calling you out. I'm calling you to give it up and not hang on, but to give it up and let it go. Let go. Give up and let go. Each of us, in our weeklies, we have, there's a white card in your weekly, right? Can you take out that white card for me? I'm going to ask Steve, please, yeah, take that out. There's a white card in there. I'm going to ask Steve if you would. We've got some music. We're going to have some time, about a minute. I know the kids are here, but just take about 1 to 2 minutes, and we'll have that music playing because I want you to have some time for reflection. And I want you to ask God, what are some things that you have held on to this previous year? And what an awesome time in moving into the new year to let go, to give those things up and let go and move forward into a new year where you can experience the fullness of Christ. I believe that some of us are holding on to some things. I believe that you are holding on to some things. Outside, we have what we call burning of the greens, and there's a barrel out there, and there's a fire, right? And as you fill out that card, what I would like for you to do is take that card, and on your way out, there's some donuts and coffee, but on your way outside those doors, pick up a donut, maybe a cup of coffee or whatever, but drop that card in that barrel as a testimony or to signify that, you know what, I'm going to let go of this. I'm not going to hang on to this stuff. I'm not going to carry this stuff into the new year. This is going to be a change for me. I'm going to let go. I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to drop that in that barrel, and I'm going to seek Christ and follow Him in this upcoming year. Does that sound all right? Let's pray. Just stay in your seats. Just stay seated right where you're at. Father, I pray that you would reveal to each one of us, what are some things, God, that are standing in a way? What are some things, Father, what are those things in our life that's causing us an interruption in our devotional life. Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would lead us, that you, God, would help us not to take these things into the new year. And Lord, I just pray that as we write these things on our card and as we put these cards in that fire outside, that Lord, it will signify, and it will be a way in which we can remember going into the new year what we are not going to hang on to. So Lord, I just pray for a spirit of release and a spirit of peace. I just pray, God, that you would help us. I pray that you will move us personally forward. I pray that, God, this upcoming year would be a year of renewal and a year of revival, a year where we finally break free, a year where we experience the joy of our salvation. I pray that this upcoming year will be a year of growth and health and vitality over our families. I pray this in Jesus' name. I speak this over this community, over this people. And I pray, God, that you would move and work and bless and help. And God, there are also folks that are online. And I just would ask them if they have something they need to let go of, that they can private message Pastor Brian. Private message through the Shelter Facebook page and let Brian know. And Brian can write those things down on a piece of paper and put those in that fire for them. God, we just ask for your help. We ask for your direction. We ask for your rest. We ask for your peace. We ask for your healing. God, be with all those that are sick right now. God, I just call out some names. Dorothy Caldwell, Lord, be with her. We pray for her. God, we pray for Betty Gould. We pray, oh God, that you would help her. Lord, be with Miss Rosa this morning. Pray you would touch her and bless her. God, we love her. We love these ladies. And Lord, there's many of us. Those of you that are here, part of the church, just call people out that you know need prayer this morning and bless them. We bless them. We bless them. Help them, God. Now, in our closing moments, what are those things that you've held on to that you don't need to carry into this new year? What are those things? Write those on that card. What is it that you feel God wants you to give up? Write that on that card. Father, I pray that this would be a time of renewal and a time in which we move forward into this new year in a way that you would find pleasing. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.